Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 26.
26.
Yeehaw.
Where is the time gone?
I don't know, man. I'm having a blast, though.
Yeah, it's been good, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, cool. I mean, holy crap, we got some traffic last episode.
Yeah, we did.
It blew up.
Maybe it's just the South By factor, but we seem to do well when we record podcasts at film festivals.
So. Yeah. It was like triple our usual number.
Yeah. So thanks anybody who's checked us out, and we hope you stick around.
I hope you enjoyed me making Adrian really angry.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. They got some awkward vibes in that one. That was pretty heated. Yeah. It takes a lot to get me in the red, and Bill put me in the red big time. So it's all good though.
I get really heated about sports. So I completely understand.
Totally. Speaking of sports, lots of sports action last week.
That's been awesome.
Yeah.
Loving it.
Man, you beat Liverpool last week, and both our teams lost this weekend.
Yeah.
Man, oh, what a rough ride, man.
Whatever. We weren't going to finish first. We're third.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Yeah.
Don't have to qualify for Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
Just want third.
Right on, man.
You guys might catch City, but they...
Yeah.
City winning today really hurt.
It did. Yeah. That was, oh well. What can you do? But yeah, Liverpool lost in the FA Cup semifinal today and just looked flat as hell. And Gerrard, I can't wait to see him go finally because he's long overdue for departure from the Premier League.
Like, yeah. Yeah. There's a real drop in his form.
Yeah, big time. Like free kicks, which should be money. Like, how many old guys have we seen still?
Dude, I can't tell you how many times Steven Gerrard killed Man U.
Yeah.
Bloody free kick.
But yeah, he's done. Whatever.
Yeah, he'll make his money in the U.S. and
whatever. Yeah, new house.
I've been watching a ton of hockey.
Oh, yeah. I've been watching what I can.
Awesome.
Yeah. Ducks and Jets have been pretty fun to watch.
Man, the Jets got screwed last night.
Oh, what happened?
Like 10 seconds before the Anaheim winning goal, they had too many men on the ice.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah,
that was brutal.
I was just like, how did they miss that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, unreal.
Yeah, that's brutal, man.
Whatever. But I would rather see the Canadian team win, but
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And your Canucks are...
Yeah, they're down 2-1.
They're in a battle, man.
They are, yeah. Yeah. Nobody expected either team to win in 4 or even 5 games. Any prediction I've seen has it going 6 or 7.
Well, looks like the Habs might sweep.
yeah. They're just steamrolling the Senators.
Yeah, my Red Wings are in a battle.
Yeah.
Tied 1-1 against Tampa Bay.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
It's going to be a tough one. Don't think we're going to win, but can always hope.
You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. Yeah, lots of sports going down.
I've been digging baseball, too.
Oh, yeah.
The Red Sox are doing okay. Starting pitching looks decent. Getting some hitting.
Nice.
Yeah. Don't think we're going to win the World Series yet.
Yeah.
I've watched some movies, but mostly I've been just watching sports.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of sports and also tons of TV, I've noticed.
Yeah, TV came back with a bloody bang all of a sudden.
Yeah.
HBO represent.
Yeah, Game of Thrones, Silicon Valley. Veep, I have to watch that show. I watched last week's episode, even though I've never seen an episode.
The most uncomfortable television show on TV.
Yeah, it's like funny.
It is just brutal at times.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. Did you see any more episodes of Better Call Saul?
No, I've only seen the first two. I need to finish that.
Yeah, you got
to
get on that.
Yeah.
That show is great.
Right on.
Yeah.
And Mad Men, I've been slowly catching up on that. I'm like a full season behind, so.
I've seen the first season. I found it really boring.
Yeah, it's not the most thrilling show to watch. No. I enjoy the writing, and there's a lot of camera work that's very cinematic. You may have seen stills and stuff, and
yeah,
it's a lot of times very beautiful to watch. But yeah, I mean, I've been in no rush to catch up on the show.
Yeah, I know a lot of people love it. Just wasn't able, it's like Walking Dead, man. Just couldn't get into it. Did how much of Star Wars Celebration did you watch?
I haven't watched any of it really. Just that bit that you told me about the breakdown of the trailer.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was awesome.
I tuned into the Force Awakens panel with J.J. Abrams and was just like, okay, cool, this sounds really great. And then they played that trailer.
Oh, yeah.
And I was 4.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And I was misty-eyed and maybe some tears going down my cheeks.
Yeah, same here.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, can it be December?
To be honest, I was not that excited for Star Wars until they showed that trailer. I was just like, holy shit, okay, I'm in, man.
Yeah. The first trailer didn't get you?
Oh, it got me kind of excited. Yeah. Like, I did freak out a little bit when I saw the Millennium Falcon. But when, I don't know, I'm just... J.J. Abrams really fucked over Star Trek.
Ah, see, I love Star Trek. I don't like Star Trek.
Yeah, but Star Trek Into Darkness, I really just hated that one.
See, I dug that movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh. And the thing is, that was his Star Wars tryout reel, right?
Pretty much.
That's all he was doing, was trying out for Star Wars. So if you had to kill one franchise to win Star Wars, I guess...
Play Count the Lens Flare.
Yeah, totally.
Take a shot.
That got me really excited. Part of me thinks, the weird part of me wants that voice to be Domhnall Gleeson, but I've had so many people say, no chance. Hamill all the way.
Yeah, the one that's saying, that's Luke, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds too young for his voice, but he is the master of voiceover work, though, right?
Yeah, totally.
So, really cool stuff.
That Star Wars Battlefront game.
That looks sweet.
Damn.
Yeah.
We just have that, like, Endor battle.
Yeah, I know. I'm in. I can't wait,
Here's my $70.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait for Hoth. And just
destroying AT-ATs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's online only, so that'll be a lot of fun. Like, you hopefully, it'll be like a sandbox.
Hopefully it's like a giant, like, 50 versus 50 game or
it has
something.
To, yeah, it has to be massive because... Yeah. You can't get that grand scale with, 8 versus 8 or something.
No.
Yeah.
I would like co-op missions.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love co-op.
Right on.
It's like the most underrated thing in video gaming.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I don't know if you played any other video games or anything else on the go.
No, I beat Last of Us and I just stopped playing video games.
Yeah, I haven't played in a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I bought a few more games.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I've been totally using Amazon as a price match and getting games for super cheap.
Oh, nice. What, like Best Buy?
Because Best Buy will beat it by like 10%.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So they, I got Infamous Second Son for $9.
No way.
Yeah.
That's a good game.
I got Watch Dogs for like $12.
Wicked.
Yeah. So I was pretty happy with that.
Right on.
I just got my PS4. So I missed all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I get it for cheap.
Yeah.
Sweet.
In other news, I bought a new phone finally. I've been bitching about that for months. I had a Samsung Galaxy S4, which was just a lemon of a phone for me. It was just my phone. Like, you have an S4?
I have the exact same phone as you, and I seem to have no problem. But,
yeah
dude, you were...
Yeah.
That's all you talked about for a while there.
That was it. Like... I had to charge my phone sometimes 3, 4, sometimes seriously 5 times a day. I wiped the phone, re-added my apps, disabled synchronization on everything, and it was still just a battery suck for me. And a buddy at work, he has the same phone, and he goes all day, no problem. And he has like Bluetooth on, Wi-Fi, GPS, everything on at all times. So it was just my phone, I guess, so... But yeah, I have the new iPhone 6, and I'm enjoying it so far, but there's a lot of weird little differences, like no back button, which is really fucking me up.
Yeah.
Like navigating between text messages. I would normally, if I get, text from you, I'd reply, and I hit back, and then see if I have any other messages. But no, I have to reach to the upper left portion of the screen and hit messages, and it's silly. That's a silly thing to complain about.
See, I totally thought you just had to hit the home button.
Yeah, well...
Okay. Anyway, I don't know how to... I've never owned an iPod. I have an iPod.
Oh,
but it's
yeah.
Like the second generation iPod.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't have iOS... Was it 8?
8 something, yeah.
So I don't know how it works, but...
Yeah, so I have to press a button on the upper left-hand corner of the screen and then click my next message. And then, because I've had a Samsung Galaxy since the S2. I went from S2 to S4, so I've had...
Nice.
I've had Samsung Galaxy for 4 years up until now.
I'm sure it's a slick piece of hardware. I just can't get around how everything is locked down so bad on the iPhone. Yeah. Like, can't put a video file on it because iTunes won't recognize it.
Oh, yeah. You have to, like, convert it.
And I'm just like, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of limitations.
If I want to watch cat videos on my phone.
Yeah. For me, I looked at my use of my phone and I was like, well, all I'm doing is listening to podcasts, music, and texting and going on Twitter, taking Instagram photos. So
yeah,
it did the trick. So
that's cool. And you got a sweet deal on it. So
yeah,
why not?
Yeah, I got a really great deal. But yeah, that's about all I have going on these days.
Yeah, me too.
Right on.
Yeah, it was dick for movies.
So. I know, dude.
Yeah, we had to stretch for this.
We're going to have to stretch a little bit.
Yeah. We got a made-for-TV one going on this time.
We do. So we should move on to the next section we have called The Rant. This is where we rant about anything movie-related, whether it's on Twitter, Facebook, something we observe at the movie theaters, or whatever. So what do you have for us this week, Bill?
Well, you know, everybody has been talking about Star Wars, like that trailer hit, and Star Wars was just everywhere. But something, a little thing happened last Friday, I think it was, on iTunes. Hey, Star Wars, the original special editions, we'll make that clear.
Oh, yeah.
Got put on iTunes with, like, the prequel trilogy. How much do you think the iTunes videos for all those movies in one package are?
How much would it cost?
How much do you think it costs to buy this?
I saw the number once. I've already forgotten. I would guess in the neighborhood of $70 to $80.
$129.99.
Oh, shit. Are you serious?
I am dead serious.
And people are paying that for bastardized versions of the film.
Or you can go onto Amazon and get the Blu-rays for $89.99.
Oh, man. That's ridiculous.
People, this is why digital will not win. Because companies do not get it.
Yeah, that and their sound is not as good.
No. And it's got DRM all over it, and you can't do anything with it. If it's an iTunes product, you can play it on your Apple TV or your laptop, but you have to play it through iTunes.
Or your phone.
Yeah. Who wants to watch, like, Empire on their phone?
Yeah, that'd be
lame. Well, you have an iPhone, so.
Yeah. No, definitely not me.
Just buy the Blu-rays.
Yeah,
that's bad. And they should know better. Like, who buys that? Who wants that?
Not a single person on my timeline on Twitter will tell you that much.
No. Yeah. And then they're like, it has a couple extra little things that the Blu-rays didn't have extras-wise.
Oh, jeez. That's a tough sell.
Is it $40 worth of extras? I don't think it is.
See, they should have had you in on that meeting playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, they don't want that. I don't like DRM.
Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, I don't like iTunes.
Yeah, it is pretty lame.
Yeah. It's an awesome service if you want to rent a movie.
Yeah.
But dude, last episode, we found the future, man. BitTorrent.
Oh, totally.
Not downloading illegal software or books or movies or music. Legit, proper, people getting paid movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And you own it.
Yeah, we're talking about Spring, which I bought for $15 US on BitTorrent.
That is the future.
Yeah, and I can throw it on my USB stick and give it to you and be like, yo, check this out.
Totally.
And I can pass it around at work.
And if for some reason you want to watch Star Wars, I have the Blu-rays. You probably do too.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
So, yeah, do not buy the iTunes versions. Do not support this.
I agree.
It is terrible.
Yes, I agree.
Rant over.
Good rant, man. Good rant. My rant is
about Twitter.
Hey, how'd you guess?
Damn, I'm good.
That's like 80% of my rants about Twitter.
It's gonna take your phone away from you, man. Yeah,
you should.
You get it back when you get home.
Yeah, that's right. My rant is, where do we draw the line with being oversensitive about things in movies and in advertising? This was triggered by, and I'm not naming names here just because I have a lot of respect for my friends in the business and stuff.
Whose name can I say here? That'll make Adrian bleep it out.
Like last episode. Like
last episode, I got bleeped. Did you guys like that?
I had to.
I should say his name again and make Adrian re-beep it.
Oh, man.
But I respect his craft, so yeah. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Adrian is the on, he's on the wheels of steel.
Yeah, man.
He does all the producing and stuff. Yes. So I'm going to be quiet. Sorry for hijacking.
All good, man. But yeah, no, I'm talking about an article I saw calling Kingsman, the Secret Service, the poster for it, sexist and overly macho because there was a female with her ass on the poster and underneath you see one of the characters from the movie and they had like five or six different variations of this poster. And it's just a riff on a James Bond poster. I forgot which film, but James Bond had a woman in a bikini and you see James Bond from a distance through, you know, the bottom of her legs and you see her ass and stuff. And
sounds like a Two Live Crew video.
It totally does. Yeah.
That ass on the glass.
But yeah, to trigger a full, you know, a full article calling sexism and we need to respect females more, blah, blah, blah. And I don't want to be too much of an asshole about this, but I thought that was just a little bit silly. Another recent example, one of my friends cried racism for the opening scene in Daredevil because he beats up a black guy without mentioning the fact that he beat up two white Russian dudes right before that. But because he beat up a black guy, it's racist. And I've watched six episodes of Daredevil and not once have I thought, wow, this is racist. And I'm a native guy, so my ears to the ground with that shit.
Do you notice how nobody like said, oh my God, Get Hard is racist?
Yeah, nobody talked about that.
No.
Yeah. Except for the few people who were really critical on that stuff. Like
me.
Yeah. Yeah. And us. Like the last episode, we talked about how brutal it was that, you know, he's like, well, you're a black man, so you've been to prison. Now, that is racism, because he's stating something that's racist.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my rant. I
think you should try Facebook, man. There's no racism on Facebook.
Just cat videos and videos that'll make you cry at the end.
Star Wars trailer?
Yeah, man. Did you see that Matthew McConaughey reacts?
So good.
Oh, man. Yeah, if you haven't seen it, look it up on YouTube. Matthew McConaughey watches the Star Wars The Force Awakens teaser part 2, and it's him in that scene in Interstellar where he loses many, many years and watches, what was it, like 20 years of videos or something like that, and he's crying and stuff. And yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, it's like synced perfectly.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Work of beauty. Bravo, whoever did it. I don't know who did it, but
yeah.
Do you see that video? Some dude, he was at Celebration, but then when they played the trailer, and
he
just held his phone up and captured the crowd reaction.
Oh, no way.
And it's all just audio, more or less, because it was so dark in there.
Yeah.
But they synced the audio of people clapping and cheering to the trailer.
Oh, and no
every
way.
Every time something was revealed, like my speaker started to crack because people were cheering so hard.
Oh, no way.
It was unreal.
Oh, cool.
Loved it.
Right on.
I would have loved to have been there, but I go to film festivals, and they're super expensive.
Yes, they are. Indeed.
How's your credit card, dude?
Oh, dude. I'm still recovering from South By, to be honest.
Dude, I'm still recovering from fucking Fantastic Fest last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I really shouldn't have gone to Austin in March, but I went anyway, and I had fun. So.
Yeah, dude, you only live once.
Yeah, totally. Oh, before we move on to anything, I got you a little gift. I didn't mention this before. I wanted it to be a surprise. It's not your birthday or anything. Let's make that clear.
That's in June.
What day?
Not telling you.
All right.
This is a podcast. All right.
All right. Happy birthday, man.
Holy shit. Wow.
Tell everybody what you got.
I'm speechless for once on this podcast.
Oh, nice.
This is unreal. Adrian got me Aaron Franklin's Franklin Barbecue book.
Yeah, it just came out last week, I think.
Holy shit.
Yeah, man.
Wow. Thanks, man. That is awesome.
Yeah. You're welcome, dude. I was like, I don't know. I looked at it online. I was like, oh, that's something I bet Bill would appreciate. So
holy shit. I am speechless.
Right on. Thanks, dude.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to read the hell out of that.
Yeah, dude. It's really cool. I flipped through it and it has like tips on prep and just everything.
Damn
it's
right.
Like his Bible pretty much. It's great.
Damn right. Thank you, man. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
I made my fucking day.
Right on.
And my month, maybe.
Nice.
That is awesome.
Cool.
And I'm fucking useless now.
That's right.
Adrian got me back.
Bill's glasses are steaming up right now. I think I see some tears. It's awesome.
I'm good. So you just need a glass of water here.
That was one of the things I posted after watching the Star Wars trailer. I was like, was anyone else chopping onions while they watched the trailer? Because those damn onions got me, man.
How bad do you feel for the people who made Batman versus Superman?
Oh, dude. That's just unfair.
Not only did the trailer get leaked,
yeah,
and they had to release it early,
yeah,
but it got absolutely destroyed by the Star Wars trailer.
Yeah, yeah, that's just unfair.
And they wanted people to go to IMAX theaters to watch their 2-minute and 30-second trailer.
Yeah.
What are they going to do, play it 5 times to make it like a 20-minute thing? Like
Yeah, and it doesn't show that much anyway. It's
no.
It's unfortunate.
The last line in the trailer is really good, though.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, yes.
Yeah.
This movie comes out next year.
Yeah, man.
Not even this summer. Why do you have a trailer this early?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I wish some of these movies would open now.
Yeah, dude. Nothing. It's unfair.
Nothing.
Yeah, we'll talk about that toward the end of the show, but yeah, our preview for next show should be pretty lame.
It is.
Never mind.
Some shitty movies.
Oh, did you?
I thought that I needed to see more movies because I didn't think I had enough.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like a couple episodes ago, I had nothing, and I'm like, I gotta see some stuff because I don't think Adrian's seen much. And
yeah.
And then yesterday I went and saw 4 movies, and I was just like, after the 4th movie, I'm just like, wow. 3 of those were absolutely terrible.
Oh, shit. That's brutal, man.
Yeah. That sucks. Okay, 2 of them were terrible.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I bring on June.
Yeah, dude.
Because nothing's opening against Age of Ultron either. So there's nothing is opening until, like, May 15th.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been nothing. Everybody's scared of Furious 7, which I totally get that. And
yeah,
Age of Ultron, everybody's scared of that.
But, you know, we're not going to peace out for like 2 months.
Yeah, I know.
We're trying.
Yeah, that's right. It's making it tough on podcasters, damn it.
Yeah.
So we should talk about the first film we're going to review.
The 7th biggest film of all time.
All time. That's unbelievable.
And it's only been open for 16 days.
That's right. We are, of course,
talking about Women in Gold.
Yeah.
It's made over $1 billion in 16 days.
In Victoria alone.
Yeah, no. Of course, we're talking about Furious 7.
The most important thing in life will always be the people right here, right now. That's what's real. Hello?
Dominic Toretto. You don't know me.
You're about to.
Who did this? Remember Owenshaw? This is his big bad brother. He's a special forces assassin. They created a monster. Looks like the sins of London have followed us home.
We're being hunted.
Shaw lives in a world that doesn't play by your rules. Like it or not, you and your friends are a part of it now.
I don't have friends. I got family.
This time it ain't just about being fast.
Yes, Furious 7. Vin Diesel talking in 3 or 4 words at a time.
Family.
I got family.
Yeah. That's his entire speech, the entire film. Everything involves that.
Yeah. If you pay attention when he's talking, anytime he has to say more than five or six words, he has to pause halfway through. It's funny. I don't know if he just runs out of breath or what his deal is, but yeah, if you watch the films and
they have to change the cue card.
That's true. Got big letters on there.
Cause I like Vin Diesel. How do you not like Vin Diesel? Yeah. He's made some pretty shitty films, but
yeah,
these films are fun.
Yeah, they're fun. That's all you're signing up for with Furious 7.
Like if you don't know the plot, something always happens to them. And they get together with the gang, and they solve it. It's like a Scooby-Doo episode.
Totally. With cars and guns.
And occasionally they add people.
Yes.
Like a couple films, they added The Rock.
Yeah.
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. When he's all sweaty. Every scene he's sweating.
And that might have been my main problem with the film.
Oh, The Rock?
Yeah. He's in 10 minutes of the film.
That's true.
That's not really a spoiler.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
He just disappears.
Yeah, that's right. Apparently he was shooting Hercules during that time.
Hercules.
Oh, man. What
a terrible film that was.
What was that? What was that line from, though? Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
a couple weeks ago on New Girl, Jake Johnson and Damon Wayans were having an Eddie Murphy off.
Nice.
And Jake Johnson was trying to do his Eddie Murphy imitation, and it was terrible.
Oh, nice.
And then Damon Wayans does it, and it's perfect.
Nice.
And I was like, wow, you are awesome.
Wicked.
Yeah.
We'll add that as a segment to our show, and maybe the next one, since it'll be so thin.
I used to be friends with somebody who thought he did a really good Eddie Murphy imitation, and it was the worst Eddie Murphy imitation I've ever heard in my life, but my God, did he laugh at it. Nice. He thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Oh, yes.
But he's a shithead.
Yeah.
Furious 7.
Yes. So
I thought this film was good.
Yeah, it's fine for what it's trying to do.
But I'll tell you this. When I saw Furious 5 the first time, I wanted to watch that movie again.
Yeah.
Right away.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing like that on this film.
No.
It's something missing.
It's just not a spectacle. Like, remember, I've talked in our wrap-up shows before, like our year-end recaps, you know, stuff like Gravity and Godzilla, Interstellar. Those are films that really just kind of take advantage of the big screen. And these Furious films, they're really not a spectacle on the big screen the way they should be.
It's just a bunch of set pieces.
Yeah.
Bunch of stuff blowing up.
Yeah. I don't know if they need a different DP. Like, it's not that it's boring or...
No, it's a fun film.
Yeah.
And they've had some pretty nice additions to this one, too. Like, I dug Kurt Russell.
Yeah, he was really cool in this one.
Yeah, he's really good.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell needs to be in more stuff.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't like, Tony Jaa is in this film.
Yeah, yeah.
Do y'all know who Tony Jaa is?
Yeah, he was in, what was his first?
Do you remember the first time you saw the movie Ong Bak?
Ong Bak, yeah.
And you kicked that dude, and everybody in the theater went, like he was the second coming of Christ.
Yeah.
Because guess what? He is the second coming of Christ when it comes to these kinds of like action films. Tony Jaa is the man. Maybe other than the Raid 2 dudes.
Yeah.
There is nobody better than Tony Jaa.
Yeah. Well, Paul Walker is better than him, though.
Yeah. That's my problem. Tony Jaa could kick everybody's ass on this film all at once.
Yeah.
With one hand tied behind his back.
Yeah.
Blindfolded.
Yeah. And he just kind of spars with him for a bit before getting defeated.
Yeah. Like, do you remember when Jet Li fought, was it Mel Gibson? In Lethal Weapon 3, you're just like, bullshit.
Oh, totally, yeah. Yeah.
It's like that in this movie. Tony Jaa's just awesome.
You know, that's one of my minor complaints about the franchise, is how these guys who are just basically mechanics and race car drivers, how they manage to not only trade blows, but they defeat trained killers, guys who've been raised to kill.
Like, Jason Statham is the bad guy in this film. Deckard Shaw. He is the brother of the dude who got defeated in part 6.
Yeah, that's right.
Part 6. He is like a black op, total dead killer guy who is like the baddest dude on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
And literally, I don't know what half these guys do anymore. Like, Ludacris used to be the computer guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Tyrese is there to tell jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
Vin says family.
That's right.
Michelle Rodriguez's character is doesn't have her memories.
That's right, yeah. She's the emotional anchor.
Paul Walker has dimples. That's like, right. None of them like actually have jobs other than they can twist a clutch.
Yeah.
Like, other than that, like, and they're like ingenious people who can defeat all, yeah, the masterminds.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And that actually might be the problem with the film. It is getting a little tired. Like, Tyrese Gibson is there to be in one scene where he can distract people by telling jokes.
Yeah.
That's his role in the film. Or drive a car and say, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, he's scared.
That's the entire thing for him in the film.
Yeah. He plays like, he's their punching bag in this one, essentially. And he sort of has been pretty much the whole time. The franchise is getting tired, but because it's getting more, it's making money, we're going to see at least 2 more of these. And I really wish that wasn't the case. Because, I'm sure, like, minor spoiler here, but the film does end with a really nice tribute to Paul Walker. I quite enjoyed it. I was quite moved. And, one thing I did want to mention, though, is Paul Walker looked like an animated person from the Final Fantasy movies, I thought, at times. And I'm not trying to be an asshole, but there was a scene where they showed them all standing in California and they showed Paul Walker. I was like, wait, he looked like one of the Advent Children. Oh, shit.
Did you go searching for CG? On his, like, face and...
I didn't. I was kind of curious going in, but when I noticed it, I was definitely distracted.
Yeah, it took you out of the film.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah.
I thought they did an okay enough job, given the circumstances.
Man. Yeah, exactly. Like, what are you going to do? That film costs, like, $200 million to make. What are you going to do? Like, you've shot 85% of the film. What are you going to do? Stop?
Yeah, they couldn't stop.
No.
I thought they did a fine job.
Yeah, I had no problems with that.
Yeah.
Wasn't overdone.
Yeah.
Wasn't cheesy.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah.
I'm just angry we're not going to get Brick Mansions 2.
Oh, no.
Revenge of the RZA.
Oh, man. Well, you got Men in the Iron Fist Part 2 on Netflix.
I know.
Straight to Netflix. I'll be skipping that.
Yeah, I'm good. I have a lot to watch. It's not going to be Man with the Iron Fist 2. Wasn't a big fan of the first one, actually.
I kind of hated the first one.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we get it. You've watched some Kung Fu and Samurai films, dude.
Supposedly the next Fast Furious, whatever they call it now, is going to be in New York.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Vin Diesel was talking about it, how they're going to set up like a trilogy in New York or something like that.
Wow.
And I'm just like, yep. You're never going to make another movie other than these.
Yeah.
Probably a good thing. Cause
it's just printing money, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when did these movies become so big? Like,
I don't know. I think it's the internet's way of being like ironically enjoying things. I think that's a big part of it. Like, and I'm not speaking of, I don't know. There is a certain percentage of people who I think ironically enjoy these films. I'd say I kind of bailed out after 6 or maybe even 5.
5 was really good.
Yeah.
I think I rated 5 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
I rated this one 3.5 out of 5.
Oh, really? Yeah. And I can't fault you for that because it's almost reaching levels of parody at this point. I enjoyed it when it was more about car culture.
Yeah, whatever happened to racing for some other dude's car?
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed that stuff. Like, a lot of people really disliked Tokyo Drift, but I really enjoyed that one because it really felt like we were getting a glimpse into another culture I wasn't aware of. So, but now we're just getting a glimpse at ridiculous set pieces.
Yeah, you guys have all seen a trailer. Like, they drive a car through like three buildings in Dubai.
Yeah. Hundreds of
like,
feet.
How are you going to top that? Like, seriously, yeah. they drove a car through buildings.
And then they had like two more set pieces after that. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, like it's so out of control.
Yeah.
Like you kind of got to bow down to like the holy shitness of it.
But yeah.
It's just like, okay, well, once people are just going to get desensitized to it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's then. Of course, the next one's going to make another $1 billion.
But, oh, yeah.
I just wish somebody would come in with a really killer fresh idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, let's get somebody to write this next film rather than them just showing up and be like, okay, here's a stunt we're going to do today.
Take the Michael Keaton character from Need for Speed.
Yeah.
He has that private race.
Yeah.
And make them all race.
Yeah, why not? Why not get back to racing?
Like, that Michael Keaton character in Need for Speed was actually kind of good.
He was cool.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just
a thought.
That's right.
I don't have much more to say.
Yeah, neither do I.
It's good.
It's good. It's serviceable.
Just, yeah, like, you, everybody will have fun watching it. I'm just getting a little tired.
Yeah, me too. I'm right there with you. I'm very glad I didn't see it in Austin like a total fucking sellout.
So glad you didn't either, man. Integrity is key.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess we're ready to move on to the next film. We're talking about the horror film called Unfriended.
What are you guys doing?
Did you guys buy your tickets 2 weeks ago like I asked you?
No.
Which seats are better, balcony or orchestra?
Hey, Mitch, who's your buddy?
Who is that?
I just tried to hang up on him.
Can we get rid of this person?
I don't know.
Is this here the whole time?
It's just probably a glitch.
Well, the glitch just typed.
Who is doing this? This is Laura's account.
Who would hack into a dead girl's account?
Maybe it's Laura.
All right, everyone, hands up right now. Who's doing this?
Oh, my God.
Guys, seriously, who posted the video?
It wasn't me.
Well, one of us did.
Who's here?
Close the door.
Lock your door.
Just hide. Why are you showing this? I didn't mean it. I swear.
Oh, you swear?
Man, what's going on?
What is that?
Hey, talk to us.
So what did you think of Unfriended? What are your first impressions?
They need to get better bandwidth.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I never thought of that. That's true.
the entire film is in a Skype window on a Mac with, like, iTunes in the background and stealing television off BitTorrent. Did you notice that?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah,
the one character in the film is downloading a Saturday Night Live episode on BitTorrent in the background.
Yeah.
I digress. It's all in a Mac on a Skype screen with multiple people in a situation where they're all having this conversation and there's somebody in the conversation they can't get rid of.
Yeah, without a profile picture.
They can't hang up on this no-profiled person. And they're all like, we're going to keep on trying to get rid of this person. And then all of a sudden, they finally find out who it is. And it's their dead friend.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you have the framework for the film. The dead friend, what was her name, Laura?
Laura Burns, I think.
Yeah, she shot herself in the face because she was bullied, and a video was posted online of her crapping her pants or something.
This video, they pan down, and she has shit her pants.
Yeah, and they show, like, graphic detail.
I'm like, be a little vague on that, okay? Yeah. Like, I don't need to see that.
Yeah, we really didn't need to see that. These kids are just assholes, aren't they?
Kinda.
Yeah, right from probably 5-10 minutes in, I was like, I hope they just all die already. Like, kill them already.
You know what, though? I kind of like this film.
Yeah, I kind of did, too.
It has kind of a neat premise. Like, the way that it actually kind of works with the Skype sessions and, like, the iChats and the person in the chat taking over their computers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I thought it actually kind of worked really well.
Yeah, a lot of it is pretty cool.
Yeah. It's nothing like, if you see a trailer, you know exactly what this film is.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing really, like, I didn't even really find the film scary. Their idea of tension is the bandwidth running out, as I said.
Yeah.
And causing pauses in the screen.
That's right.
Yeah. And then it will cut back to like a violent scene and then cut out again. And the characters are on the screen going, ah, like screaming because their friend's getting hurt. And I'm just like, dude, upgrade your fucking internet.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got ghetto internet on that film. It's
dial up. Don't use Skype on dial up.
That's right. I thought they had a lot of fun with the things they had available. Like they had some cool iTunes/Spotify moments where they use music for kind of for jokes. Just the behavior of writing instant messages and deleting them before you hit send because maybe it sounds dumb or something, or you know, just the behavior of the way kids are on their computers. I thought they really nailed that kind of aspect.
And the ghost uses social media.
Yeah, how cool is that?
Yeah.
It's on Facebook.
Got its Facebook profile. It works pretty damn well for what it is.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear something really sick?
Yeah.
This film cost $1 million to make.
Oh, really?
It made $16 million its opening weekend.
Holy crap.
Can I say that it made 4 times the amount of money It Follows made its opening weekend?
Oh, man. That's marketing for you, right?
Yeah, totally.
It was the way better marketing campaign.
When I saw this, I saw the matinee of this film. Like the 1 o'clock show, it was full of kids who probably shouldn't have been there because I think this film is a little bit violent.
Oh, it was very brutal.
And all they did was talk and play with their cell phones the entire film.
It's a 4D experience.
Totally.
Oh, shit.
It's a fun little film.
Yeah.
People are going to kind of dismiss it for being like a stupid horror film, but I think it's a little better than that.
Yeah. I did enjoy it overall. I did have a lot of complaints about it, though. Like, I think these kids are supposed to be in high school, right? Did they clarify that in the film?
Yes, I think so.
Because
the main chick has more like things going on with her face that make her look old than I do.
Yeah,
like I looked at her IMDb page. She's like 28 years old.
Yeah, she looks way old.
Yeah,
to be a high
couple
school
of them
kid.
Look like high school kids, but yeah, she's got wrinkles all over her face.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, you're really cute, but you're not a teenager.
Yeah, she's a very pretty girl, not taking that away from her. But yeah, she's way out of place in this film.
Yeah.
But I thought anybody over the age of like 30 to 40 will probably dismiss this film just because it's more targeted toward teens, right? And people who are heavy into social media and heavy into downloading SNL on BitTorrent illegally and listening to music on Spotify. I sat next to a lady who wasn't too familiar with social media. She said a lot of the references went way over her head and she had a hard time keeping up. It'll get lost in the Victoria crowd here, at least at the Odeon.
No, when I saw it, it was really full. I was quite shocked.
Ah.
But yeah, it's a good little film.
Yeah, light recommendation.
The local paper that I was reading today that had a review of the film, in their review had a picture that I guess they were given by the studio that had a major spoiler.
Yeah, I know.
I
you
took
showed
a picture
me that.
And sent it to Adrian, and it literally has a major plot point.
Yeah.
In the freaking review.
That picture. Happens toward the end of the film.
I was just like, my God.
That's brutal.
Yeah. So I guess they don't care.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the other question I've got. Adrian saw this at South by Southwest.
I did, yeah.
He saw a different cut of the film.
Yeah, I'm curious what...
I know what's different.
Oh, do you?
It's the ending.
No way.
Yeah.
We're going to cut for a second here because I need Bill to tell me right away what happened. Okay, so Bill told me what happened at the end, and it's basically the same I recall, but it was one of the first films I watched in a festival where I watched 24 films, so it might be a little bit hazy on that.
You guys wanted to hear that conversation, so I'll tell you.
Blah, 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 blah. No, I'll cut it out and post.
Yeah, bleep it. That's
right. I'm in the habit of censoring Bill.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts on Unfriended?
No, it's a good little horror film, and we got to support horror, man.
Yeah, yeah, why not, eh?
Yeah, a lot of good horror films. We save us a lot. Don't get seen. This one got seen a bit. Support good horror.
Yeah, yeah, go for it. Check it out. So the next film we're going to talk about, Going Clear. Is that the full title?
Going Clear, Scientology and the Prison of Belief.
Someone had told me there's this cult and they'll make anything possible in your life.
I was deeply convinced that we were going to save the world.
It was a transcendent experience.
You feel euphoric.
Everything you do for endless trillions of years depends on what you do with and in Scientology.
They sell it all in the beginning as something quite logical.
You take on a matrix of thought that is not your own.
It's so strong that it sticks you like glue.
Very controllable, very suggestible.
You just don't see it happening to you. You justify so much.
There is no logical explanation other than faith.
I'm a relative newcomer to Scientology. And really knew very little.
So you've had your reading?
Yeah, that's right.
Did your e-meter say that you were full of thetans?
Yes. I've been meaning to tell you, I'm not going to be available on Sunday nights anymore.
I know it all because I'm OC5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, nice, man. Congrats.
Yeah, I know all about the Xenu.
Congrats, dude. I can't wait to get there.
I'm going to get spammed by Scientology.
What a freaky film, dude. Like,
first off, Alex Gibney is, like, quite possibly, other than Joshua Oppenheimer, the greatest documentarian going right now.
Oh, totally.
The guy just makes really damn good docs.
Yeah. Just fearless filmmaking in this one. Like, I was afraid to tweet about it because I didn't want somebody to read it and, like, start harassing me or something.
Yeah, like, one of the main things about this film is that you don't screw with Scientology because they will ruin your life.
Yeah, like a cult would do.
Don't worry. They don't like movies. So they won't listen to our podcast.
That's true.
But it's a really... I knew most of the stuff already because I'd seen that South Park episode.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that one,
they
too.
They just absolutely destroyed Tom Cruise in Scientology.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, get out of the closet, Tom Cruise.
Oh, that's right.
Tom Cruise looks really weak in this film.
Like he's been manipulated and everything. Yeah.
John Travolta looks really bad.
Yeah.
The whole thing about Scientology that I didn't know is that they are told not to go on the internet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So
what's up with that?
A lot of them are really sheltered, like, media-wise and don't really know anything about what's being said about Scientology. Paul Haggis, Oscar winner for Crash, was a Scientologist. He found out that Scientology was supporting some gay initiative in California, trying to get it something illegal being gay or something like that. And one of his daughters is gay.
Yeah, that's
right. And he was a pretty high-ranking Scientologist.
Yeah.
And he said, we can't support this. My daughter is gay. Please try to figure something out. I can't support this. And then he found out that they basically didn't listen to him. He wanted to find out more stuff, so he went on the internet. He's like, this is the first time I've ever been on the internet.
Yeah.
Searching for this stuff.
Yeah.
And he found all this stuff out. The really great thing about this is that this movie played on HBO.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people have HBO.
That's right. The word's going to get out.
I love this film.
Yeah, it's great.
It's really damn good.
Yeah, it's really very suspenseful and very thrilling and downright scary, man. Like, I mentioned this on Twitter, but I had nightmares that night involving my worst fears in my life. And I truly believe it was because of this learning about Scientology and the psychological damage they're inflicting on people. It's scary stuff.
Yeah, they, child labor.
Yeah, that's right.
There's an organization called the Sea Org.
Yeah.
Sea Org.
Yeah.
And they signed like 8-year-old children to lifetime contracts, like 2 billion years. They say their life is going to like keep on going.
Yeah.
And pay them 30 cents a day and work them for 18 hours and barely feed them. And they fix Tom Cruise's house. Like shit like that.
Yeah, it's like brutal. It's
just, the stuff in this documentary, you have to see this. Like, it is so bloody frightening.
It is. Yeah, it's just disgusting acts of just torture.
And God forbid you want to leave it.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, they get into a section where they talk about people who successfully escaped Scientology. And it's like, if that's a thing, what the fuck?
Yeah,
like, that's not a religion, dude. That's a cult.
Like, I was baptized Catholic, not really a Catholic, but, you know, whatever. If somebody asks me, I will say that I'm a Catholic.
Yeah, but you have nobody holding a gun to your head for not going to church on Sunday.
Yeah, if I say I don't want to be a Catholic anymore, does that mean I can't talk to my family anymore?
Yeah.
Because that's Scientology.
Yeah, that's brutal.
And it's unreal. Like, sad stuff.
It is. Yeah, yeah, very moving. I, in the case of Did Adrian Cry? Yes, Adrian did cry while watching Going Clear, just because it's so devastating. And to hear about the way they care or don't care for their children, just heartbreaking. I can't stand when innocent children get involved with child labor and getting abandoned on a freaking roof somewhere and thrown in a room that's like a dungeon pretty much. And it's disgusting. It's really disgusting.
Yeah. See it.
Yeah. See it. Check it out. And
the cool thing is that HBO, before they played it on HBO, qualified it for Oscars. They played it in theaters in LA.
Oh, that's right.
To get to qualify for, because that's how the Oscars work. You have to play your film before it plays TV or gets disqualified.
That's right.
Which is really stupid.
It is.
Because, you know, Alex Gibney can't make these without people paying for them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
HBO, a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
People like that Game of Thrones show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, maybe while they're watching, they'll see the trailer for this and say, HBO, hey, maybe check it out.
Freaking killing it documentary-wise. Like, next month they got Kurt Cobain Montage of Heck.
That's right.
My most anticipated film of the year that doesn't involve The Force.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, and it's awesome, dude.
Oh.
Yeah. I've seen it.
I read a Rolling Stone article today on Francis Cobain talking about the making of Montage of Heck. I need to see that yesterday.
Oh, dude, yeah. You're going to love it.
If anybody could hook me up.
Yeah.
Please feel free.
You know where to find us. You know,
I'm on Twitter. I probably won't respond, but I'm on Twitter.
That's right. That's right.
And yeah, Going Clear is available only on HBO in the U.S., supposedly. A coworker of mine tried to watch it on HBO Canada. It never aired.
Oh, no way. Yeah, I just got it, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. You want to know why?
Why is that?
Because it's opening theatrically in Canada.
Oh, is it really?
Yes.
No way. That's awesome.
It's opening in Vancouver next week.
Oh, that's wicked.
Yeah.
Right on.
More people get to watch it.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, if you got HBO, check it out. You will not be disappointed.
Yes.
It plays like a bloody thriller.
It's, yeah. Yeah. With lots of bad guys.
Such a slick filmmaker.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's great.
Gibney's great.
Yeah. So, check it out.
Going Clear. And the whatever the rest of it's called.
Yeah. Yeah. Going Clear v. Batman v. Superman v. Gibney v.
Cruise. Big Hero 7.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, I guess we should talk about our new segment that we introduced last show. The Green Screen of Death Movie Club. Why don't you tell the listeners what your choice was and how this will work and all the details.
Okay, so last episode was our first pick ever. And I picked my favorite film festival film of all time, The Best of Youth. It was really mean. I felt really bad. After I did it, I felt pretty bad because it's 6 hours long.
That's right.
And I felt, it's like, oh shit, I probably should have done something a little less long.
That's right. Yeah, you should have. But I'll admit, I felt a lot of resentment at first. At first. Yeah, The Best of Youth. First off, I wanted to start with one thing. Do not dismiss this film because of its length. Because I know damn well all of you are out there binge-watching fucking Daredevil and House of Cards and Orange is the New Black. You're sitting down for 12 hours at a time watching these shows.
Guilty.
You can spare 6 hours in any form you want. Just because of my schedule and the way things work the last few weeks, I watched it in 3 separate 2-hour segments. And I loved it. I'm happy to say that I loved the film.
Damn right.
Start to finish.
Sweet.
Grand scale filmmaking at its finest. And it's a masterpiece.
You can't do that shit in 2 hours, man.
No.
No, it's...
No.
He takes his time.
Yeah.
And it's like, people say like Breaking Bad is a television show. No, it's a 12-hour movie.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's one story.
Yeah.
Moving toward the next chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's... This one's just, it got me right off the bat. The easy way to get to me is with a great soundtrack, and this has an amazing soundtrack.
House of the Rising Sun, Eric Burden and the Animals over the opening credits.
Yeah, man. I was just like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Like, bring me back to my childhood and hanging out with my parents and stuff.
When I saw that movie theatrically at VIFF, it played in 2 parts. The second part had opening credits too.
Oh, sweet.
And it had Who Wants to Live Forever by Queen.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Right on.
But the DVD doesn't have it, and the Hulu Plus and Netflix, I think, is one big file.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, there's no break.
There's one little break, but it's like 10 seconds, and it just jumps right back in.
That's rough.
Yeah, yeah. I loved it. The reason it works is because the writing's so sharp, and I really care for every single character in this film. When things are happening, whether it's happy or sad, I'm fully invested in these characters. When they get put in bad spots, man, they really tug my heartstrings. And when happiness was involved, I felt it with them. It felt like I was fully immersed in this family. And it centers on 2 brothers, Mateo and what was the other guy's name?
Nicola.
Nicola, that's right. They start out with them. They're in college, university, right? And they go, they're going to go hang out with their friends. They're going to go traveling. And
I think the timeline of the film is like late 60s to like early 2000s.
Yeah, that's right.
Like
yeah.
It stretches a very long time.
Yeah. And it moves like, I'm sure I'm not the first person to say this, but it's as if this is like a sequel to Boyhood, like that you could totally see adulthood going in this direction because it's a full journey, a full fleshed out story that I was with the whole time. Just loved it to bits.
The 2 male leads, other than the fact that I don't know how well they speak English, but they are stars.
Oh, big
especially
time.
The guy who plays Mateo.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just a really good-looking dude.
Yeah, they've got great screen presence.
He's got charisma.
Yeah.
And it's just unreal.
Yeah. Yeah, like he can just flip it on like a switch. And
and it's amazing how they age in the movie. Like they either like grow their hair or cut their hair or grow a beard and
add a bit of gray.
And it totally works.
Yeah.
Everything about it works.
Yeah. And I appreciate that what they did with the aging process. It wasn't like stupid Back to the Future where they put on dumb wigs or anything, you know, like it all looked very natural. And when they were young kids, it all looked very natural. So part of me wanted to look into it and be like, did they film this over like 15, 20 years?
Nope.
Yeah. It's great.
Okay, so I'm gonna try to be as I'm gonna try not to spoil anything here, but there's a scene in the film that fucking destroyed me.
Oh yeah,
I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
So that that did you pretty good.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Devastation. Yeah. Just. Yeah.
I remember when I saw it at VIFF, when that scene happened, the entire theater, like, gasped.
Yeah.
And that is rare.
It is.
Like, you're so invested in, then it's like, boom.
Yeah.
And it's just, it knocks you for a loop.
Yeah, that fucked me up big time. Part of me wanted to pause the movie, but I was like, no, I'm not. I thought about how you saw this at a festival, and you didn't have the luxury of pausing it and going for a walk, or, you know, going to grab a drink or do a shot of whiskey or something.
They gave us 5 minutes between the parts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Jesus. I literally took a piss, came back, sat down for 3 more hours.
Oh, that's hardcore, man.
Yeah, it was unreal.
Yeah.
At Granville.
Oh,
Granville number 6.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Buckle in.
Started at 1 o'clock and got out of there at like 6, like 50-something or something like that. It was
no way.
Unreal.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
Before I forget, I just wanted to read a couple comments. Jim from Movie Bear Podcast watched the film. He had never seen it, and he was like, I'll watch the film with you guys and be a part of the movie club. So thanks very much, Jim. Thanks for checking it out.
Oh, yeah, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'll just read out his comments here. He has a couple spoilers in here, so I may have to do some editing because we're spoiler-free podcast for the most part. So here it goes. I'll just read you the messages he sent me today. Again, this is from Jim. Hang on a sec. I'll read his Twitter account. I'm probably going to butcher this. JJPOUTWEST. JJ Pout West.
He's a rapper.
He is.
JJ Pout West.
Yeah. West Side. I'll post his Twitter handle in the show notes. Anyway, here's his comments. I loved how this film really gave a sense of Italian culture and history over its 40 years, and not simply just the passage of the time. The film reminded me of the Linklater films, Boyhood, and the Before series in many ways. Dialogue, narrative, passage of large spans of time. Gorgeous cinematography in the European settings. I love the earnestness of the Nicola character, a great illustration of what I see as staying on the high road and keeping such deep compassion, even when dealt troubling blows. Such a great dad to Sarah, and as a doctor to Georgia and his patients. Hang on a sec.
The Georgia character. Good
yeah.
stuff.
Oh, amazing. Good stuff. Amazing stuff, yeah. I'm from an Italian family, so the movie got me nostalgic for my past family times and rekindled a desire for a trip to Italy. I've never been. Overall, a great film that's found a place in my heart. Yes, I cried in a few parts. I just wish that more film fans would look past its daunting 6-plus-hour length and subtitles to give it a chance. Thanks for the rewarding homework assignment. What's next? So yeah, thanks very much, Jim, for checking that out.
Totally, man. Thanks. That's awesome.
The one person who watched it with us, and hey, we appreciate it.
As I said last show, this is not a easy film.
Yeah.
And as I also said this show, I felt pretty bad about it.
No.
It's something it felt right to me, and I thought, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and whatever. It's, you know, I watched it and I was like, man, you know what? I probably would never have watched that if it wasn't for you saying, here, watch this for Movie Club.
Totally. That's cool. Now,
yes,
on to this episode's movie. I really hope you haven't seen this.
That's the thing.
I don't know what Adrian's seen.
That's right.
I'm just pulling shit out of midair. This is how I'm going to do it. I kind of came up with a little bit of a plan. The Best of Youth was from the 2000s.
Yeah, that's right.
So now I have a movie from the 1990s.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to go down.
Nice.
Every decade.
Yeah, yeah.
So next show, the 1980s. And if you're really curious, yes, I do have a DVD copy of Megaforce.
Nice.
Yes.
I don't know what that is.
You should.
All right.
You should.
All right.
It's a really cheesy G.I. Joe movie from the 80s.
Wicked.
Yeah.
All right.
Movie Club. Movie number 2.
Oh, what do we got?
I got it right here.
It's a slow reveal.
It's a Criterion Blu-ray.
Sweet.
Lars von Trier's Breaking the Waves.
Nice. I haven't seen that.
Yes.
Yeah. Breaking the Waves. Wicked, dude.
There you go. That's the actual disc. You can take that. I'll keep the case.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cool.
It's my favorite von Trier film. And when I rated my top films of the 1990s, came in at number 2.
No way.
Yeah.
Nice.
Features what I think is the best female performance of all time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Von Trier in his holy shit period.
Wicked.
I know you really liked Nymphomaniac.
I enjoyed that quite a bit. Yeah.
This is next level compared to that.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Wicked.
Von Trier made 2 films in this time period that were, I think, masterpieces. Breaking the Waves and Dancer in the Dark, which won the Palme d'Or.
Oh, wicked.
This won the Grand Prix, which is second place at Cannes. I really hoped you hadn't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't.
I literally had another film over there on my desk waiting for you. Oh, yeah, dude, I've seen that.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Right on, man. If you want to play along, if you've seen it already or if you haven't seen it, feel free to watch it and share your thoughts with us, and we'll read them on the show.
It's another masterpiece.
Wicked, dude. That's
what's cool. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do for the next show. I'm having fun. Like, wicked. I like researching this kind of stuff.
Nice, dude.
But when I thought about the decade thing, I looked over, and I have my number one film, is plural, is a trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
As a hint.
Yeah.
My number one films of the 90s were a trilogy.
Ah, I think I have that set, and I haven't watched it yet. I think I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
So maybe I'll watch those.
No, I'm going to use those next time we hit the 90s.
All right.
If we're still doing the podcast, the next time
we hit
the 90s, that's going to be it. You're going to be watching 3 movies.
Nice, dude.
But I didn't want to do that. I was just like, I just made him watch a 6-hour film. I'm not going to make him watch a trilogy.
Right on, dude.
Yeah, so Breaking the Waves, Lars von Trier.
Yes, looking forward to it.
1996.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Wicked. Good
and
year.
To all you, the people out there, Pulp Fiction is not the best film in the 1990s.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's the number 3.
Number 3. Yeah.
There we
go. Dude. Thanks, man.
I hope everybody gets to check that out. I don't know if it's available on Netflix, Hulu, or anything.
Probably Criterion. Hulu Plus, because they have Criterion.
Criterion has an amazing Blu-ray of it.
Cool.
It's I've owned like 50 copies of this film, and they've all looked like shit.
Uh-huh.
Because when Von Trier did the video transfer, do you want to know what he did?
Oh, what's that?
He shot it on film, projected it on a wall, and then taped it with a video camera.
What? Are you serious?
Because he wanted it to look like crap.
No way.
And the Criterion Blu-ray was taken from the original negative, so it's the first time it's actually been shown off film.
Oh, wow. That's unreal.
So, a dick.
That's funny, man.
Yeah. He likes to fuck with people.
Nice.
You might have noticed that with Nymphomaniac.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He likes to push buttons.
Yeah.
Cool, man. So that's the next movie club for our next episode, which will be in 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
All right, so I guess we're ready for the lightning round, where we offer quick reviews of other films we've seen between the last show and now. I have absolutely nothing this time.
I got a few.
Yeah, I spent my long weekend and went away, and I've watched a lot of TV, though. Watched the first 6 episodes of Daredevil, watched Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt all the way through, and Game of Thrones, Silicon Valley, a lot of Mad Men, so... That's my lightning round. What do you have for us?
Before I start, I teased last segment that I had another movie for Adrian to watch. The film, in case you were curious, was Xavier Dolan's debut film, I Killed My Mother, for Movie Club. And I think Adrian would like that film too, actually.
Right on. I'll have to check it out anyway.
It's like Mommy's Little Cousin.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Mommy's like full. This one's like minor.
Oh, really?
Same kind of film.
Yeah.
But it's a good film. It's on Netflix.
Oh, wicked.
USA, not Canada.
No way.
Even though he's a Canadian. Lightning round. Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Oh, no. You watched that?
Just as bad as everybody said it was.
Oh, too bad.
it was gone for a month and then showed up on iTunes.
That's right.
It's like, okay, cool. Yeah. Let's check this out.
Yeah.
Wow, is it bad?
Oh, too bad.
Not like worst of the year bad, because Craig Robinson's pretty funny.
I always liked that guy.
Even in a really terrible film, Craig Robinson is awesome.
Yeah, he was good in that Kevin Smith film.
Zack and Miri?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was funny. He had that bit where the guy's like...
We talked about the
Star Wars. Yeah. And like the guy comes in, he's like, I'd like a coffee black. And he's like, can't you see we talking white? He's so good.
Adam Scott, not a welcome addition.
Oh, that's too bad. I like that guy.
They go into the future, not the past.
Oh.
It's not good.
Not good.
It's really terrible. There's a reason why it like died completely and nobody talked about it. It sucks.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah. I love the first one. Accidental Love.
I haven't heard of this.
Ever heard of this, Will?
No, I haven't.
Well, in 2008, David O. Russell, big director, started making this film. The funding got pulled, and he stopped making the film. He took himself completely off the film, and it's just sat there since 2008.
Oh, wow.
The people who paid for part of it wanted to make their money back, so they released it. It's not finished.
Oh, jeez.
It's the worst film of the year. It's like, not done. You can tell. If you ever see this film, after hearing me say it's the worst film of the year, you deserve to be punched. It's awful. Right. Never see that film. David O. Russell put some fake name on the film because he refused to even like be like known for it.
Ah, okay.
A really bad sign. Should have known better.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling made a film.
Oh, Lost River.
Lost River.
I haven't seen it yet. How was it?
I loved it.
Nice.
It's kind of like if David Lynch made The Goonies.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. That sounds pretty wicked. It's a really weird like adventure film. It's amazingly well shot. It's well acted. A lot of really good actors in it, including the stupidly underrated Ben Mendelsohn.
Oh, I love Mendelsohn.
Yeah, he's so great.
Cool.
Christina Hendricks is in like the lead.
Nice.
If it had been made by anybody other than Ryan Gosling, everybody would be talking about this film.
Yeah.
But because it's him, it's cool to hate it.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah. I'd read nothing but bad about it, and I'm watching this. I'm like, this is really good.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's really competent for a guy who's never made a film.
Yeah.
But wow. I'm pretty sure he's worked with Refn a couple times, and I'm pretty sure Refn let him, do some stuff. So
he
knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's been around.
It's a really damn good film. I really liked it. It's available on iTunes and all your favorite VOD.
Right on.
Check it out.
I have to check it out, yeah.
And if you don't like it, I apologize. It's not a normal film. As I said, he's watched a lot of David Lynch. You can tell.
Uh-huh.
Sisterhood of the Night.
I haven't heard of that.
Okay, so it's a young adult movie.
Okay.
Which is an automatic disqualification for Adrian.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's about girls who decide to make their own kind of club. They disappear at night, and people start to think they're witches.
Oh, wow.
And it becomes kind of like a riff on like the Salem witch hunt.
Okay.
And how if you're different, people automatically assume you're like doing something terrible.
Yeah.
When all it's just kind of about is them being friends.
Ah, is this set in current time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of a sweet little film, actually. I automatically assumed it was going to be terrible because of the whole young adult aspect of it.
Yeah.
But I really actually kind of liked it.
Oh, cool.
Shout out to Marina Antunes for reviewing that film and letting me in on it because I had no idea it even existed.
Oh, wow. Right on.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Then it gets bad.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Do it up.
Nicholas Sparks, y'all.
Oh, you took one for the team.
I did. As I said, I didn't think I had anything to like add to the show, so I saw The Longest Ride.
Oh, and it's a long movie, right?
It's really long. it's not good. I like Britt Robinson. Clint Eastwood's kid's awful.
Nice.
It's like The Notebook. has like two separate like timeline stories.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
parallel stories.
Yeah, it's just ugh. Didn't like it at all.
It's a Nicholas Sparks movie.
Yeah, you've seen one, you've seen them all. And this might only be my second.
Ah.
I saw The Notebook.
Yeah.
Are you a big Nicholas Sparks? No, you're not.
Danny. The book was better.
Yeah. Thank you. Danny Collins.
Oh, no.
Al Pacino.
How was that?
It's not bad.
Okay. All
right. There's a lot of really good supporting actors in it, including the, it's about criminally underrated film actors this episode, you know, Ben Mendelsohn and Bobby Cannavale.
Oh, I love Cannavale.
Cannavale is awesome in this
film. Good. Right on.
Annette Bening's in it, a bunch of other people. It's exactly what you think it is, but it's really well made and acted, so it brings you along.
Right on.
It's not a bad film.
Cool.
And the last, and definitely least, Women in Gold.
Oh, no.
Said I wouldn't see it, but I saw it anyway.
Brutal.
Not a good film.
Yeah, I was not looking forward to that one, so I skipped it.
Yeah. Made for a certain audience, and I am not that.
Yeah.
And goddamn, Ryan Reynolds used to be really good.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Nah. Terrible film.
Terrible. Too bad.
That's it for me.
Yeah, and I've got nothing for you in the lightning round. I'm just getting worse and worse. But the thing is, like, there's so many TV shows out there that I have to catch up on. So, and I went away for the long weekend, so that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it.
That's cool, man.
And I had a freaking 6-hour long film to watch for Movie Club.
At least you watched that.
Yeah, I had to. And I'm glad I did. Yeah.
It was getting close. Like, I texted you on, like, today is Sunday.
Yeah.
And I think I texted you on Thursday. And you're like, I've watched a little bit of it.
That's right. And
I'm like, yeah. Dude.
I wasn't going to let you down. Right on, dude. Well, thanks for watching those and taking a lot of shots to the chest for the team.
And here comes some upcoming films, and there's not a lot going on either.
Yeah, it's Age of Ultron's coming out.
It's a really bad time of the year. April 24th, Age of Adeline.
Haven't heard of that.
It's got Blake Lively.
Oh, I've seen the trailer.
A woman who doesn't age, I think?
Yeah, that's right. She gets with a guy whose father was in love with her when she was a kid or something.
I'm a big Gossip Girl fan. Yes.
Nice.
I like Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
I also watch Vampire Diaries, Pretty Little Liars, and all those other shows, too.
Right on, dude. If you're curious.
It looks okay, I guess. I'll probably see it.
I think Sarah wants to see it, so nice. I'll probably see it. And the guy who's in it is really hot, so I'm in. He's he was on the invitation.
Nice.
He's that guy.
Ex Machina goes wide.
Yeah.
Finally.
Finally. Yeah, I can't wait for you to see it, dude.
I hope we get to review that next episode, because I've been waiting for that film.
Oh, yeah.
May 1st. The Avengers, Age of Ultron.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm seeing in 2 days.
Oh, that's right.
But I'm not allowed to talk about it.
You're not. No. It sucks.
I think we all know what this one is.
That's right.
It's that Scarlett Johansson leading vehicle that she's always needed.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's going to watch this. Doesn't need our praise.
Nope.
But this one does. Welcome to Me finally opens.
Oh, no way. That's awesome.
Love Welcome to Me.
That's a great film.
Yeah. If you don't know what this is, Kristen Wiig is a crazy woman who wins the lottery and decides she wants to have her own Oprah-like show because she's totally addicted to Oprah.
Yeah. So and self-help books and videos.
And so she pays a TV station to let her do a show. And this show is like nothing you have ever seen.
No.
Oh, my God.
And it's amazing.
It is. It was one of my favorite films of the Vancouver Film Fest last year. And I've been waiting for this one.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to kick some people's asses.
It's funny. It's charming. It's very moving at times, I found.
Yeah. Love that film. Check it out. I think it's limited. Hopefully it gets around.
Yeah.
I it's not through a major studio. It's some little indie.
Yeah, that's right. Sucks. So it'll open like New York, Toronto, yeah, and LA, and that's it.
And here's where I had to really search, because nothing is opening on May 8th except for Hot Pursuit. Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara.
Yeah, I saw a trailer for that on HGTV, actually.
Were you watching home improvement shows?
Yeah, Sarah watches them, and I get stuck watching all these girly commercials. I quite
enjoy Income Property with Scott McGillivray.
I forgot which one we watched, but...
Homes on Homes?
I don't think so. It was one where they're... Basically, it's like they're all the same. This woman actually had a really strong... I'm guessing freaking like newfie accent. And she's the reason why people make fun of the way we talk.
Nice.
Her and this team, they renovate homes and flip them and for people and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love HGTV. So Reese Witherspoon plays a cop who is trying to help a drug dealer's wife stay protected or something. I watched the trailer. Mm-hmm. Don't remember a damn thing about it.
Yeah. Sofia Vergara plays her accent for laughs, I'm
plays
sure.
Plays boobs.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all she is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, Maggie, right?
And a virus kid.
Yeah.
Who's 16 is going to turn into a zombie. Maggie, which was supposed to be at TIFF last year, but got pulled because it got sold.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. Looks like Schwarzenegger's going for best actor in that one.
Yeah. He's growing like a goatee, and he's looking all stoic, and yeah, he's not going to win an Oscar.
Damn it.
And that is it.
Pretty light month again. You're going to have to pad it out.
We're going to talk about two movies next show, because... That's all we're going to see.
Yeah, yeah. And plus the movie club movie, so yeah. We got that.
Where Adrian yells at me for watching the Lars von Trier movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's right. I'm thinking next episode will be Age of Ultron and Ex Machina.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's very little out there. Maybe we'll pick another VOD movie or something. Or
no, Montage of Heck is airing on HBO.
Oh, that's right.
There's the third one.
There we go. We found three.
Hell yes.
Hell yeah. Wicked. So should we wrap things up?
Yeah.
All right. So I should plug our stuff real quick here. Once again, you can find us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, and other platforms. Just run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Hit subscribe and leave a comment. That helps us find more listeners. So if you enjoy listening to us, give us a shout and throw us a rating. I don't care if it's a 1-star or 5-star. Just give us a rating, damn it. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. On Twitter, we are at @green_screen. And where can people find you, Bill?
I'm on Twitter. That is it. @soundjam69.
Right on. And you can find me. I'm @Adrian_Charlie, where I bitch about the Canucks and movies and
finds material for his rants.
That's right. Sometimes I deliberately say dumb shit that I'm trying to get in trouble for stuff. And that seems to be the only way to get a reaction out of people online, which is weird. But it's my own little social experiment to myself, and it's fun. So if you see anything weird, that's what I'm doing. I'm just trying to fuck with people.
You're such a different person since you got an iPhone, man.
That's right. Yeah, man.
You know what I call you? iPhone D-bag?
Yeah, that's right. I'm an iPhone douche now. Oh, yes, and we also have an Instagram account, which we update maybe once a month, if that. It's The Green Screen of Death. No spaces there. So yeah, I guess until next time, thanks very much for listening.
Peace.